is the feast of St. Matthew, but the readings are taken from the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. Therefore, the epistle this morning is from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which has been created according to God in justice and holiness of truth. Wherefore, put away lying and speak truth, each one with his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your anger. Do not give place to the devil. He who was wont to steal, let him steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands at what is good, that he may have something to share with him who suffers need. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus spoke to the chief priests and the Pharisees in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who made a marriage feast for his son. And he sent his servants to call in those invited to the marriage feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatlings are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the marriage feast.' But they made light of it and went off, one to his farm and another to his business. And the rest laid hold of his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. But when the king heard of it, he was angry, and he sent his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burnt their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The marriage feast indeed is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the crossroads and invite to the marriage feast whomever you shall find.' And as his servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, then the marriage feast was filled with guests. Now the king went in to see the guests, and he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how didst thou come in here without a wedding garment?' But he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind the hands and feet and cast him forth into the darkness outside, where there will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, the first thing this morning is to draw your attention to the little lessons that have been given, and today we printed the last part of this concerning confession and how we should go about it, not so much mechanically, but as particularly and primarily to the dispositions that we should have when we do go to confession. Read those over carefully. Take the mechanics out of confession. Take all the mechanics out of confession. And keep in mind the reason why we go to confession. I draw your attention this morning to something that has been added to what we have outside, a crucifix. This has been given to us rather the money to get this with was given to us by way of a will of someone that we know we knew quite well and who died, and therefore we obtained this crucifix in memory of this person. We will bless this crucifix solemnly on the feast of Christ the King. And of course, I want as many of us as possible to be here for that occasion, because I want this crucifix to be a manifestation of what we believe in and what we stand for and what we understand about a crucifix. And I hope that it will be for us and for all who looks upon it, anyone who looks upon it, as a source of grace and indulgence. This morning, my beloved people, I am going to depart somewhat from my or our usual policy of never talking about matters of ecclesiastical importance or political importance. This is not the place to go to discuss matters of politics or matters of ecclesiastical whatever. The place this is for us to go, to come to in order to pray. Now, I'm not saying this because I think that we are guilty of it, not at all. Please do not misunderstand me. But I'm merely saying these things by way of instruction, because I think the time has come for at least me to make a public statement concerning all of the shenanigans and the hullabaloo and the misinformation and the deceitfulness that is being pumped at us from all directions today. Therefore, permit me to read what's in today's bulletin. And you read that. Not only do you read that, my beloved people, I want you to duplicate it if necessary and put it in the faces or amongst the eyes of those who need to look at it. I know you don't. I'm not worried about that. But I'm talking to you to talk to those who need to understand what we're talking about. And this is what it says in the bulletin. These are dreadfully strong and powerful. They're frightful words. And unless we understand them perfectly, we will not be able to accomplish that which we think we are accomplishing by simply coming here. It's more than that. Therefore, I read to you. The arguers for the motu proprio mass have justified their positions on all the particulars they argue about, except one. The validity of the priestly ordination. Therefore, this is not up for argument. And anybody who argues about that in its defense have written a different book. And that, precious people, is that. Two Sundays ago, we had in our bulletin another little statement which I would like to present this morning. Again, understand, I'm bringing this out to you as for classroom purposes. Our commitment must be a matter of decision. We have decided that which way to go, which direction to take. It must be total, and it must be absolute, and it must be expressed to our eternal Father in love and in filial expectation. Ours is not simply an agreement reached between two parties, pledging conformity to a certain way of religious fulfillment. Please go back to that bulletin, blessed people, read it, memorize it, and quote it as you quote the other that I read first. We are no longer at a point where things can be as we propose them to be. I have repeated to you from time to time the book that we follow, the book that I have to follow, the book that you have to follow, the book that anybody has to follow. And we must be obedient to that book, not according to our interpretation of what we read, but according to the interpretation that has been handed down to us by our forefathers. Remember also, blessed people, that I have also said that too far right is every bit as bad, perhaps even worse, than too far left. Too far right today, holy people, live only according to fear. They fear everything. They have no understanding of anything but fear. They run all day long from one devotion to another, and they make a contract with saint number one or saint number two or saint number three. I'm going to make my nine Fridays. Therefore, I expect you to do this and that for me. I've said this prayer as you have requested, saint number two. Therefore, I expect that you give me what I want at the moment of death. Saint number three and saint number four and saint number five, our books are bulging with prayers that we offer to all the saints. We're constantly running from one devotion to another, making one contract after another, with this saint, that saint, and the other saint. Don't do this, don't do that, don't eat this, don't go there, don't do anything. Fear of everything. My God, that's the fear you give to an animal. That's the fear that you give to a monster. And if that's what we're talking about, I'm not terribly sure that I have any dealings with that kind of a monster. I don't know him, and I don't want to know him. That's the book that they follow. Hell is absolutely the only thing that I can think about for me according to that book. And so, what happens if I follow that book? Inevitably, because I know I can't do it, eventually and inevitably, I will give up. I will give up. And I will quit. And goodness knows, I can tell you the number of people that have simply quit going to church altogether, eventually, because it was impossible to follow that way of life. Nothing but fear. Then there's the other book on the other side, that today, oh no, he overlooks everything. He's a God of mercy. He's good. Everybody's going to heaven. Why? Just go ahead and live. Live it up. Do this. Do anything you want to. Everything is fine. You've got nothing to worry about. Absolutely nothing. That's the book that also eventually ends up with the ultimate and inevitable conclusion, I don't really have to do anything, so I'm not going to do anything. I'll stay home. I'll do anything I want to. It's going to be just fine. So my blessed people, you see the two unbearable distinctions. The needle points directly to the north. It doesn't point east. It doesn't point west. It is going directly to the north. And it never shakes or wavers or anything. It's direct and conclusive. Always. Then there is another book. The book that makes sense. The book of Jesus Christ. The book of God. Yes, that book speaks of fear. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It speaks of fear. It says, the beginning of wisdom, fear is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Yes, it does. It speaks of fear. But it does not speak of the fear that you give to an animal. It speaks of fear that you give to somebody, if you even know how, if they even know how. It speaks of the fear that you give to somebody you love. I will not do this because I love you. And I know that if I do this or that, whatever it is, that it might hurt you. And I love you so much that I will do anything to keep from hurting you. I will not eat this piece of chocolate pie, which I love very much. Not because, oh mercy, I'm not going to eat that. Oh, I stay away from that because, oh, God doesn't know. Oh my, oh no, 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 no. No chocolate pie for me, not ever. I might not eat that piece of chocolate pie because, dear Lord, I want it very much. And I want to do a little something, a little sacrifice. Therefore, I will not eat it and hope that you will take that piece of chocolate pie, so and so every way, that the angels take that and give it to you instead. But you see, you, especially those of you who are in a place of responsibility, you must not stand over me and say, don't eat that piece of pie. It's wrong. Offer it up. Don't eat it. And so you've taken all the liberty, all the freedom, all the value of any intention I may have in my head to do something for God. So why am I doing it? I'm not eating that pie for God. I'm not eating that pie because of God. I'm not eating that pie because you're standing over me with a switch, telling me I'm not supposed to eat it. That's hell, in the purest sense of the word. And it should be avoided by anybody at all who has a grain of sense in their heads. It is no longer time for us to fool around with things that are not right. We are at that point, beloved people, and all of you know more about it than I do. You see the clouds. They're all around us. And it's getting darker and darker with each new day. We cannot afford to have a homemade kind of religion. It's either right or left or correct. And we have to live by it. We must make that decision if we expect to save our mortal souls. Our religion is beautiful. Our religion is holy. Our religion is reasonable. It expects us to live according to the law of God. Naturally. Why not? It's supposed to. But it has to be according to the way God has ordained it. Our blessed Lord himself gave us every conceivable example. Every conceivable example. And in the time of our blessed Lord, when he was going around making wine out of water, going around to banquets and feasts and everything else that had all the good meats that could be offered at that time by the host that invited him. Which side would we be sitting on? Would we be sitting on the same side with Jesus Christ, enjoying that lovely piece of whatever that was offered him to eat? Or would we be sitting on the side of the Pharisees saying he is a drunkard and he eats with sinners? This is where we are, blessed people. And I'm not saying this about you. Please, 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 please understand me. I'm merely saying it to you so that you will know who we're dealing with and who we must talk to and the confusion that is being pumped at us by people who are supposed to know. Last week, you will recall that I said to you that these people out there don't know that they don't know. And that is the curse of our day. They don't know that they don't know. And furthermore, you cannot put a Santa Claus costume on an animal. You cannot bring East and West together. You cannot put right and wrong together. Either you are right in the middle or you are wrong on either side. And when you pray, for goodness sake, let your prayer be a prayer of love. Let it not be there ordering. Remember, Saint number one, I am saying this prayer. I'm doing my part. Now it's your turn to do your part and do what I'm asked. Do what I'm telling you to do. Not what I'm asking, but what I am telling you. If not, then you were a liar. You're not paying attention to me. I'm doing everything I can. Now you wise up, Saint number one, and do it. Because after all, I have done what you said. Now, beloved people, that is not religion. That's slavery. That is pure out and out slavery. And God does not look after the sick slave. So, as we travel from one week to the other, be mindful of why you come here. Every one of you, every one of us. When I use the word us, my dear people, let it be known to you that it's us. You are us, and we are you. And together we're in the same ship. And we're all, as we said once before, we're all in that ship that is now where the two currents have come together. And the thing is being tossed right and left and up and down. And the waves are coming in on us and breaking us apart. And we don't know which way to turn. And any way we turn, everywhere we look, there is wave and trouble and confusion and ugliness and hatred and hatred and hatred. Therefore, I beg you that when you pray, you will say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.